The sicha for today's parsha in Bahar is in Chele Gimel, Volume 3 of Lukut HaSichas. In today's parsha, one of the mitzvahs that the Torah mentions, the parsha mentions, is the commandment about not taking interest on a loan. The commandment of Rivis. And the pasuk concludes by saying, Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeisi etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim liyeh lachem lelikim. I am God, your God, who took you out of Egypt to be your God. So the Safra says, from here we learn that whoever accepts upon himself the commandment to not charge interest on his loans also accepts upon himself the yoke of heaven, and those who cannot accept upon themselves the yoke of not taking interest denies himself, removes from himself the yoke of heaven, because whoever admits or accepts the mitzvah of ribis accepts also the coming out of Egypt, and whoever denies, who is kefir in the mitzvah of ribis, of not taking interest, is as if he also denies the coming out of Egypt. So from the fact that the Torah says don't charge interest, and then concludes by saying, I am God, your God, who took you out of Egypt, the Torah seems to be implying that if you follow the commandment of not taking interest, then I took you out of Egypt, and you experience or recognize the Exodus coming out of Mitzrayim. But if you don't keep this mitzvah, then you don't recognize that God took you out of Mitzrayim. And also, I took you out of Mitzrayim, li yes lachem lelikim, to be your God, which means to accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven, to have God be your God. Whereas if you don't accept the mitzvah of Rivis, if you're not careful to avoid charging interest, then you have basically denied that God is your God. So we have to understand, what is the mitzvah of Rivis, the mitzvah of not taking interest? Why is it so important and so central that without it, we have no exodus from Egypt and we have no acceptance of the yoke of heaven? Now, the coming out of Egypt and the acceptance of the yoke of heaven have a connection to the mitzvah of Rivis, as Rashi explains, according to the Gemara, that by the coming out of Egypt, the last plague, of course, was the plague against the firstborn. And there, in the plague of the firstborn, God differentiated between the Jewish firstborn and the Egyptian firstborn. And that's why we are so grateful for that miracle, that while the Egyptian firstborn were dying, the Jewish firstborn were being spared. This shows that God pays attention to the details, and that when the firstborn are being punished, God distinguishes between the firstborn of the Jews and the firstborn of the non-Jew. When a person charges interest for his loan, the Gemara says, he usually does so by saying that the money isn't his, that it belongs to a non-Jew, and therefore he has to charge interest because it's not his own money. So the person who can fool himself into thinking that God can't distinguish or doesn't pay attention to the minute detail of exactly whose money this is, and therefore the person thinks that he can fool God by claiming that the money that he's charging interest for was not his own money, but it was that of a non-Jew, so by doing that, he's basically denying the attention and the interest that God does pay, which is visible and evidenced in the distinguishing between the Jewish firstborn and the Egyptian firstborn. But this, of course, doesn't explain why charging interest is forbidden and is connected to the coming out of Egypt in all cases, not only in the case where the Jew claims that it's not his money. So we still need an explanation. Why is the charging of interest a denial of the coming out of Egypt? also, when a person charges interest for the money that he is loaning to another, there is a lack of trust in God's providence, where he feels that he can't afford to let his money make money for someone else. He needs his money to be making money for himself. And that's a lack of trust in God, who provides for all living things their needs. So when a person cannot lend out his money without charging interest, he is showing that he doesn't really trust in God. And that's why he is rejecting from himself the yoke of heaven. But that too is not an exact explanation, because that shows that he has a lack of trust, but not that he has a lack of faith. And the lack of trust exists in all mitzvahs of tzedakah. A person who doesn't want to lend out money at all, not only the one who lends out with interest, but he won't lend out the money at all for the same reason. He feels that he needs every penny to be working for him, to be making him more money. So that too is a lack of trust. So this lack of trust is not unique to the lending out of money with interest. So we still need to understand, how is it that by lending money with interest, you deny the exodus from Egypt and you deny the yoke of heaven? The yoke of heaven, which is expressed when a person performs mitzvahs, in other words, when he performs mitzvahs in the manner of Eil Shamayim, Eil Malchus Shamayim, Kabbalah Eil, where he does the mitzvah in the form of bearing a yoke, it means that in heaven, God, so to speak, participates in the mitzvah that the Jew does. As we say in the bracha before we do the mitzvah, we say, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvei Sov. God sanctified us with his commandments, with the commandments that he does, which means that that which God does, he commands us to do as well. We also find an expression that says that when we do a mitzvah in response, as a result of our doing the mitzvah, God does the same mitzvah. That's, for example, anyone who studies Torah, reads the Torah, God sits and reads in response. So when we do a mitzvah, it causes God to do the same mitzvah. So there are times when God does the mitzvah first. The mitzvahs that God performs already, he then tells the Jews to perform as well. And then there are the times when God does the mitzvah in response and in reaction to the Jew doing the mitzvah. Now, it's understood that the mitzvahs that we do and God responds and does the same are certainly not equal. There is no comparison at all between the mitzvah that we do in our finite human way to the mitzvah that God does above. And yet, this is how God responds to our mitzvahs. He responds by doing the same mitzvah. And the reason for that is that although our mitzvah can't compare at all to the mitzvah performed above, yet God does respond to our mitzvah for two reasons. The mitzvah that God does before we do a mitzvah is understandable, because in order for the mitzvah to be a mitzvah, in order for the mitzvah that we perform to be a divine act, God has to do it first. That's what makes it a divine act. It is because God does this mitzvah, because God is this mitzvah, he is mitzvadik, therefore when we do it, we are doing a mitzvah. And that gives us the ability to accomplish the holiness or the godliness that the mitzvah is supposed to accomplish. When God responds to our mitzvah, that's a whole different influence and a whole different effect on our mitzvah. as we will soon explain. Before we get to that, we have to understand, why is it that doing mitzvahs is difficult? It's a struggle. Why can't God create us in such a way that we automatically and effortlessly do mitzvahs by nature, without effort, without devotion, without dedication, without struggle? Particularly, according to the explanation that God created the world in order to do us a kindness, then certainly it would have been a greater kindness if God not only created us and gave us the opportunity to do mitzvahs, but also made it easy for us and natural for us to do those mitzvahs. So the explanation given is that true goodness that is given from God to creation is only the kind of goodness that is earned and not given for free. When you give someone a gift for free, for nothing, something that the person feels he doesn't deserve and hasn't earned, that's called nama d'ksufa. That's called an embarrassing bread, a shameful bread. It's a gift, but it's embarrassing to receive such a gift because you feel that you didn't deserve it. And since God's goodness is a true goodness, therefore God gives us a goodness that we can appreciate as a true goodness, and that is a deserved goodness. So now, according to this, we'll be able to understand why it is that God responds to the mitzvah and does the same mitzvah that we do. When a person gets paid, in other words, when God provides for us or gives us what we need, because of what we've done, we've earned the pay, so it's not nama d'ksufa, it's not shameful bread. However, if a person who is working to earn pay knows that what he is doing, the particular work that he does, that he's getting paid for, is of really no use to the person who is paying him, that basically defeats the whole purpose of the work. Because here again, it would fall into the category of bread of embarrassment. It would be embarrassing to take this kind of reward, even though you worked hard in order to get paid, but you know that the work that you did really wasn't useful or necessary at all. The Rebbe gives the example, I think it's from the previous Rebbe, about a king who told his servant to bring a machete or a knife and to go through the motions of cutting wheat standing in the king's chamber, and that for this work he will pay him very well. And at first the worker was thrilled. He didn't have to go out to the fields. He didn't have to go in the hot sun. He could do exactly the same labor here in the room and get paid even more than he makes by cutting the wheat. But after a half hour of doing this, the man realized his mistake, and he said to the king, "You know, I'd rather go work in the fields, because after a half hour of cutting, I don't see any results." Right, it says in Russian, "Rabotu nevidat." The work shows no effect, no results. And that's very frustrating to the human spirit. So in addition to the fact that we have to earn our rewards, that we have to earn what God gives us in order that it shouldn't be nama d'ksufa, we also need to know that this work that we're doing is actually useful. It has an effect. It has a benefit to the employer, to God, who is rewarding us for our work. And so God lets us know that there is, in fact, a powerful result from the efforts that we invest in the doing of the mitzvah, and that is that when we do the mitzvah, God does the same mitzvah. It causes an equal and opposite reaction above in heaven. Another thing is, besides being embarrassed, besides being shameful that we're doing work that isn't necessary, if we don't know the effect of our labors, then the labor, even though it's performed correctly, is not performed with any enthusiasm and with any joy. So here also, it is important to know, for this reason, that there is an effect that our mitzvah has above, so that we can do the mitzvah and strive, put in the effort in serving God, knowing that that there is this kind of a response above, gives us the enthusiasm and the joy to animate our avodah. Now, just as each individual mitzvah causes God to respond in equal measure, the same is true in general. The fact that that God responds to our mitzvahs is the result of a general attitude and a general mitzvah that we perform here below. And that is the mitzvah of lending money without interest. Interest means getting paid for the money that you've lent out. And what that implies, what that means, is that money that you had already given away, you've already lent it out, you still want that money, because it was originally yours, you want that money to be making money for you, you want to benefit from that money, even after it's no longer yours, even after you've lent it out. That's very different from, for example, making money through leasing something out. If you rent out an apartment, and you're getting paid every month for that apartment, the apartment basically remains yours. You never gave it away. So it's not something that was once yours that is now making you money. It is yours now, and it is making you money now. But with ribis, with interest, you lend out the money, you give the money away, and it's no longer yours. And yet you want to get paid for what you want to make profit on that money, because it was once yours. And that is forbidden. When a person behaves this way below, when he declines to make money from that which was once his, and wants to earn a profit only from that which is his at the moment, then God responds in equal measure, in kind, and treats us that way as well. If a person charges interest and he wants profit from that which was once his, then from above also, God does not participate in the mitzvah that you are doing right now. He doesn't influence the mitzvah that you're doing right now. However, even though he still does the mitzvah before you do it, and that gives you the ability to do the mitzvah, but once you do the mitzvah, in other words, once God has given you the mitzvah, and now you are fulfilling, you're practicing, you're observing the mitzvah, God does not participate in your mitzvah because you have insisted on taking profit from that which you already gave away. So once the person starts to do the mitzvah, which is like similar to God having given you the mitzvah, and now the mitzvah is yours, God does not participate in this mitzvah because you insisted on making a profit from that which was once yours. Whereas the person who is careful not to make a profit from what was once yours, then he is rewarded in that God participates in the mitzvah even when the person is doing the mitzvah. Not only before, but even also during. So now we'll understand why the mitzvah of not taking interest is so powerful that it affects your relationship with God and your relationship to the exodus from Mitzrayim. In the mitzvah of ribis, through the mitzvah of ribis, which is a general mitzvah, a general attitude, you make God your partner in your mitzvahs, in your aveda. Because when you don't charge interest, God participates in your mitzvah. And so you've accepted upon yourself, Be'ul Malchus Shamayim, you are doing the mitzvah with the yoke of heaven, meaning to say that God participates in the mitzvah with you. And when you are this closely related to God, when God is your partner in your mitzvah, that takes you out of Egypt, it takes you out of all the restrictions and all the limitations that the world could place on you. Now, tzaddikim are similar to their creator. Tzaddikim damim l'beidam. Just as God behaves this way, in that he does the mitzvah before you do the mitzvah, so that you are able to do the mitzvah, and then he participates in your mitzvah. He is a partner with you in the mitzvah, even when you're already doing the mitzvah. The same is true with tzaddikim. That the tzaddikim, and particularly those who are called Nesiyei Yisrael, the leaders of the generations, they also give you the ability to go out on a shlichus and to do what they need you to do in spreading Yiddishkeit and so on. And even while you're doing it, they participate in your aveda. They are partners with you in your efforts. This we saw very clearly by the previous Rebbe, the Rebbe says, where not only did he send shluchim and give them the ability to affect their environment and to strengthen Judaism and to spread the teachings of Hasidus wherever they went, but he also remained constantly, even in the later years, when he had already raised up a generation of students and the students were themselves producing students. And the Rebbe could have been content with allowing the students to do the work and taking credit for all that they accomplished, yet he didn't sit back and let them do the work by themselves, but he remained involved in their aveda in every detail. So this is a lesson for all of us, that we who follow in the teachings of the Rebbe, that we should never be content with having students who have been taught and have been inspired to become the teachers themselves, and to sit back and say, now that I've accomplished this, I can allow my students to do my work for me and I will receive credit for all that they accomplish. But a person has to always himself remain involved with others. You can't retreat into the world of your own world, but you have to remain always involved with others. And so by remaining always involved with others, you remain partners with your students, and you remain an active, inspiring element in what your students do, and you yourself are also involved with the community and with others. The reward for this, for being careful to avoid taking interest, in other words, wanting to benefit from that which was once yours, having taught students, having inspired students, and sending them out to be teachers. So you now want credit, you want to collect on that which was once yours. They were once your students, and now that they're doing good work, you want to get by on what they are doing and collect reward for what they are doing. That's considered taking interest, charging interest, because you're benefiting from what was once yours. By not doing that, by being careful not to be content with the fact that your students are doing good things and that they were once your students and you can in some way claim credit for what they do, when you don't do that, the reward for that is that not only is your own aveda better, but that you will have the participation of the Rebbe in your work. The Rebbe will be partners in your aveda, will be your partner in your aveda, and through the Rebbe, also God himself, Kabbalas El Shamayim, you will have God himself participating in your mitzvah, and that will bring for you the true Yetzias Mitzrayim, it will elevate you above all the restraints and all the constrictions that the world places on a person's avodah, and you'll be able to transcend them all and serve God without restriction.